Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled Lessons in Life from Scripture found in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 to 33. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome. It's a real privilege and a joy for me to welcome you to this morning's service, to come together around the Word of God, really around the throne of God, and lift up His name to praise Him, glorify Him, and worship Him. We're reminded always that our Creator God revealed Himself to us in two ways. One is through nature, and that's the natural revelation, and then He also reveals himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Special revelation. And that's some of what we're going to look at this morning. His revelation in nature as well as through His Son. And I hope your hearts are touched by that. If you're visiting with us today, or maybe you once called this your church home and you're just visiting today, we just welcome you. We're glad for everyone that's here. We hope you experience warmth and hospitality, that you experience just a good feeling and say, yeah, if you don't have a church family where you think, that's a place I could make home. And so we welcome you today. We hope that you'll stay for a time of fellowship right after the service. Coffee and cookies through those doors. And there's usually plenty. And we also want to, I've forgotten this now for I think 3 or 4 weeks in a row, but there's extra seating right across from me. It's really the choir room, but they don't sing in the summer. And so there's tables and chairs in there. So if it's really hard to hold a cup of coffee, 4 cookies in this other hand, then sometimes you just need a table to put it all on. There's tables and chairs in there, and invite you to use that and make yourself comfortable. But again, we just hope you all stay for that time of fellowship. We want to greet all the folks that join us on Jethro Radio. We're so thankful for that outreach. It's been a wonderful opportunity for us as a church to reach out to people in the community. And then Jethro FM, and so that's on the internet, and so we can go lots of places with that. And then we're also on YouTube now, and so thankful for that and reaching out in that way. And then there's still folks that get the CDs later, and just all ways to share the good news of who Jesus is. Our call to worship proclaims who God is. He is the maker of heaven and earth. As I read the scriptures, I'm always reminded God is really proud of His creation. And so from Genesis to Revelation, it always comes through that He is the creator. So He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. If you've come heavy today or burdened, He's here to lift you up. The Lord loves the righteous. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Praise the Lord. And we will do that by singing number 11, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Standing to sing number 11.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, to my heart to sing Thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, song for songs of loudest praise.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. Here's our hearts. Take and seal them. Seal them for your courts above. We've come to worship you and to praise you, to glorify you, to lift up your name. You alone are worthy of that. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for your invitation to come to your house and be with part other members of the family and worship you. And so our prayer is that through the power of your Spirit, you will touch us to be able to do that and do it well. And it'll also rise as a sweet incense into your heavenly throne room so that our voices will join the heavenly choruses, lifting up the name of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we invite Martha Vuchteveen for our special music, and we welcome you and thank you for being here today with us, Martha.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be back at 8th Reform this morning. It's always a joy to come, and the acoustics here are so beautiful. So I just really enjoy singing here as well. First song that I'd like to sing is an old, old, hopefully favorite, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Thank you very much. My next song is taken directly from Scripture, and I'd like to read a portion of it to you. This is Matthew 6, we're on verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed.
Thank you very, very much, Martha, and good to have you here. It's good to have your husband with you, and but thank you for that message in song and how it touches us. Sometimes with the music added, it even touches our hearts more than when you're just preaching, but I shouldn't say that. A special time in the life of the church is also to welcome new members. And I know it feels a little bit strange when we say new members, because we've seen the Wolf family around here quite a bit, and we're glad about that. They've been part of our church fellowship for some time now, and they joined us as a transfer from Harvest OPC. And so we welcome the Wolf family, and they went through a new members class, kind of an information class, back in February already. But it didn't always work out. to do this. And if you think, well, the wife doesn't always come that often, I'm going to explain why, okay? You saw her today. She's a pianist here, but she plays in quite a few other churches. And so there's many. And one Sunday morning, if you ever saw this, you suddenly saw her run out. She'd forgotten that she had to play at another church. I shouldn't tell you all this, but it's kind of a funny story. But she does. She plays at a lot of churches, so lots of other churches are blessed by her talent, too. And so we're just grateful when she plays here and when they are here. So I'm going to ask them to stand right now as we welcome them as a family. And that's Tom and Linda. And then their two sons, Nathan and Jacob, with them today. They also have a daughter, Catherine. She's a student at Calvin, and she wasn't able to be here today. But we just thank you for, with all the churches that you can pick from, we just thank you that you chose to come to 8th. We've already been blessed by your participation in our church life, and we look forward to the future as we continue to grow and serve Him together. So let's give them a nice round of applause. Okay, you may be seated, and I won't point this out, but I noticed today you don't have your name tags. So anyways, be sure to say hi to the Wolf family and give them a nice warm welcome and a greeting, and just at coffee time. That's what fellowship time is all about, too. So again, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. And then I want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. One is just good to see Cheryl DeWitt here with us. Cheryl's been dealing with shingles, and it's under control, and it's become manageable, and so good to have you back. And we missed you when you weren't here, so we praise God for prayers answered there. And then this week, we also prayed for Bernie and Phyllis Skytema. They were on it was a special time. It was Bernie's 80th birthday, their 60th wedding anniversary, and they went to Hawaii. And then there was the earthquake off of the east coast of Russia, and the tsunami came. And so you saw the prayer chain came out, and they were just so grateful for your prayers and also knowing that. And that's what it means to be part of a church family, of knowing that there were people here that cared about them, that were praying for them. And it did all go well. They went out to sea a ways, because I guess that's safer. And then when it all calmed down, they were able to go back to Hawaii. They hope to be back next week. And then we want to pray for Joe Van Beek and his wife, Pam. Joe's just been coming here a few times and just be a new worshiper here. But he also shared with us his wife is a double amputee above her knees and dealing with dialysis. And then they just learned that she just recently had a mild heart attack. And she says, our family just really needs prayer. So if you could remember Joe and Pam in prayer as just, this is a hard time. Pray for strength for them for this part of the journey. And I'm going to mention a name in prayer this morning. A friend of ours, Bob, he had bypass surgery and a valve replacement, I'm going to say 5 weeks ago, something like that. The recovery just hasn't gone well, and then he was discharged and ended up at a rehab center, and now he's back at Butterworth. And so I want to remember Bob in prayer, too, as he deals with this. And then this last week, my oldest sister, Hazel, went on hospice care. And so we also want to remember her and her family during this time. And we're always dealing, really, with the cycle of life and of death. And so it's always good to remember Lord's Day 1. What is my only comfort in life and in death? And said, I'm not my own. But the comfort comes from the one I belong to. And then we want to remember Pat and Keith Warren in prayer as they grieve the passing of Pat's grandson, Matthew Stroven. It was just a sad motorcycle accident just a little over a week ago. And so we'll want to remember Pat and Keith, but also Matthew's parents, Bonnie and Mike, and he has three siblings, Sammy, Zach, and Joshua. And we just want to remember that family, and they kept him on life support for a while, and they've harvested the organs, and there'll be a celebration of life coming up next week. So just hard times. And we live in a broken world. We're reminded of that over and over. So it's so good to know that we also have a Heavenly Father who says, I'm going to walk with you. I'll hold on to you. I'll give you a firm foundation, even when everything feels really chaotic. Let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Amazing Creator God, your footprint, your handprint, your thumbprint is everywhere, which includes us. And we have come to worship and praise you. You are the God who created the oceans, the mountains, the sun, the moon, the stars, the continents. We look at the banners hanging in the front. They speak to your glory. What an amazing God you are. And all of life, every human life, all of life that inhabits the earth, the sea, the sky, you put the breath of life into it. Only you can do that. We stand amazed of what you can do. And then you came to dwell amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we come to you and we say, Jesus, we humble ourselves before you and we confess our sins. We're not the people you want us to be, but through your great love in our hearts, we are the people that have come to you to seek your forgiveness, to seek your cleansing, and to seek your forgiveness. And Father, we know that's all possible because it's blood-bought forgiveness. And the price that was paid was good once and for all. We're so thankful for that, that in the middle of all the chaos, in the middle of all the brokenness, our hope rests on a firm foundation, Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you are wisdom, and in your love revealed the Father to us. And we believe all of these truths through the Holy Spirit. And so if we also want to pray for those for whom this is not a reality, and Father, those who don't walk with you, would you bring them back from a barren road and let them experience the joy of belonging to the family of God? As we pray for these spiritual needs, we also pray for physical needs, and we pray for those dealing with health issues. We think of Dave Huvelhorst, Brian Herwire, Barb Ish, Denise, Cheryl DeWitt. I'm so grateful that she's here again this morning. Kathy Misiak, recovering at home. Emily Dreyer, Dan Leick, here with us too. Lynn, Ron Osteich, Joanne Sleeth, Helen, Larry Rudnick, in recovery, Ron and Jenny Benedict here with us this morning, Dan Rotman, Dave Conrad. Father, we just pray that there will be donors for both of these men, for kidneys, for Tim C., for Joy Stulp, Robert DeYoung, Don Oppenhuysen, Betty Holmes, for Bob, and for Joe and Pam Van Beek. And Father, we also know there's lots of other people dealing with different things. You know each person, you know them by name, you know exactly what's going on in their lives. Our prayer is that your presence will give strength for the journey, whatever it is. Thank you for protecting the Skytomas on their vacation as they experience really your power in nature. What an awesome God you are. And then there's all the other things people deal with, emotional struggles, depression, anxiety, relationship problems, tension, financial struggles. Father, there's so much in this world that brings really chaos and anxiety into our lives. And so that's why we are so glad we can come to you. We need to hear that voice that says, be still and know that I am God. We pray for our relationships. Relationships first with you, that our relationship would be strong, that as we just heard in song, that you loved us first so that we could love you and that we could love each other. And help us to be able to do that in our all of our relationships, in our homes, in our workplaces, and also in our church family, right here in this place. We pray for the strength for those in nursing homes, homebound, assisted living. This morning we remember Darlene Simhowowitz and Ruth Horges. And then would you give peace to Don Winalda, as well as my sister Hazel and her family on hospice care. We seek your comfort for Keith and Pat Warren and the tragic death of her grandson Matthew. And so we pray for Mike and Bonnie and the other family members. Thank you that our hope is in you, the resurrected one, and that Matthew also believed that truth and professed you as his Lord. Thank you for the nation we call home. We ask your wisdom for our leaders, your grace for our military folks. We ask for peace in all the places of the world where there's just war and turmoil. And maybe the biggest battles are fought in our hearts. The battle where we fight you and resist who you are and want to do things our own way. Would you give us soft hearts instead of hearts of stone, that we could surrender everything to your lordship? And so we pray that you will continue to pour out your mercy on our land so that we find our way back to you, that there might be a revival in our land. We're thankful for evidence of different places where your Spirit is working, but it seems like college campuses is a place where you're choosing to work at this time. We pray for your blessing. We pray that good things will happen. And Father, when your Spirit is working, never, never let us get in the way. We know your Spirit is always at work, and we pray for Sung and Amy Kim as they also are in a transition time of life. And then we remember the voice of the martyrs as they ministered the persecuted ones around the globe. Would you bless the offerings that are being received for the voice of the martyrs, the Salvation Army, and the Right to Life, protecting the preborn? Thank you, Father, for the rain we got this past week. When you do the watering, it replenishes in a way that we can't duplicate. And so we're really thankful for that, even as we pray for more, that you will continue to refresh and restore. Thank you for this church, for all who call this their church family, and for those who join us electronically. We're grateful for your hand in our lives and celebrate the welcoming of the Wolf family, for Tom and Linda, for Catherine, Nathan, and Jacob, to welcome them to our fellowship. Thank you for the time you've already given us to get to know them, for the gifts and the skills and the blessings that you've given them. And we pray that we can be mutually beneficial to each other as we worship you, praise you, and serve you in this part of your vineyard. And then, Heavenly Father, would you fill us with a new desire this morning for your wisdom and to leave our own folly behind? Open our eyes to see your handiwork around us as you reveal yourself to us in the natural world, but also in the special revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 355, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. 355. May be seated. Dear congregation, today we're going to study part of Proverbs 30. Proverbs is the book in the Bible right after Psalms, so you'll know where to look for it. And the word Proverbs actually means to be like. Proverbs create word pictures, images to convey life's truths. And so the theme of the book of Proverbs, if you look at the whole book, is really God's wisdom in contrast to man's folly. God's wisdom, our folly. And so it contains moral illustrations that teach fundamental realities about life. And we're always reminded in the scripture that the full extent of God's wisdom is personified in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you really can't have true wisdom. And this is also shown in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24. But to those whom God has called, Jews and Greeks, we would be considered the Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So in Christ, that's why he is our all in all. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is the theme of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And this is an interesting line, the next one. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The book of Proverbs, the first 29 verse, our chapters were written by King Solomon, chapter 30 by Agur, the last chapter by Lemuel. Agur may have been a student of King Solomon. And in verse 5 of chapter 30, he gives real perspective. He says, every word of God is flawless. Isn't that something? Every word of God is flawless. He is the shield in whom we take refuge. God is our protection. Today's focus, it will be to look at the things in the natural world created by God and see lessons beneficial for our lives. How we can see much of that in the natural world, but it always points to Christ. So turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 30. And we're going to, that's page 947 in your pew Bible. And we're going to read verses 15 to 33. Hear the word of God. The leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land which is never satisfied with water, and fire which never says enough. The eye that mocks a father that scorns an aged mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, the way of a man with a young woman. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king, a godless fool who gets plenty to eat, a contemptible woman who gets married, and a servant who displaces her mistress. Four things on earth are small, yet they're extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. There are three things that are stately in their stride, four that move with stately bearing. A lion, mighty among beasts, who retreats before nothing. A strutting rooster, a he-goat, and a king secure against revolt. If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. For as churning cream produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, So stirring up anger produces strife. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. We start with verse 15, and it introduces us to the blood-sucking leech. Sometimes these were known as horse leeches. It was often found in the water troughs, and then when the horses would drink, they would attach themselves to the horse's mouth. And it says it has a daughter, two daughters, and it says, give, give. And the reason it has that little description is that one end of the leech would, in essence, attach itself to the horse or whatever other animal it was being a parasite on, but the other end did the blood sucking. And so that's why the two ends work together. And this, according to Proverbs, this parasite represents the greedy human heart. Like the leech is always more, 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 trying to suck the blood out of whatever its victim was, never satisfied. And you know what? That started in the human heart with the fall. God gave us everything we needed, and then Satan comes along and says, Steve, you know what? There's more. You could be godlike. And she took the apple and bought into the promise that never delivered. So give me, give me, give me more, never enough. Greed is a powerful motivator. We all struggle with it one way or the other. It can be in the simple things that if you see something that's free, you just got to take it. And if it's free, why not take two? But greed can motivate people and make them give up everything else to pursue this one thing that is driving them and completely lose focus. Now, in contrast to greed is contentment. Contentment is actually a gift from God. And Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you have a spirit of contentment, praise God for that. That is a blessing and that is a gift that only He can give. And it raises the questions, as Americans, we have such an abundance. We have so much of everything and so many choices. What is our contentment level at? Are we looking yet at, okay, something bigger, something better, something different, something new? One of the things I often hear from people who are missionaries in third world countries is they'll say, those people have nothing. Or they have so little. But they have a different joy and a different spirit of contentment than we do. And we have to learn that things will not satisfy us. Things will not bring contentment to us. And so the proverb goes on to give examples of greed in the natural world. And if you're a person that makes lists, you really like this proverb because it's all lists and about numbers. They're actually called the numerical proverbs. And it's an old saying that the Hebrews have, but in the Eastern culture, which is, it starts with 3 and then goes to 4. What it really means is that here I'm giving you some examples. I'll add one more, but this is not exhausting the list by any means. There's plenty more. Here's 3. I'll give you one more, but you know there's a whole lot more. And so the 4 things that never say enough in nature. The first one is the grave. And we know that death is never satisfied. There's always more death, more people dying. The grave is always welcoming more people because death doesn't take in a holiday. The second is the barren womb, the desire for a child. And that may not speak quite as strongly in our culture today as it did when this was written, but at that time it was really poignant. And you know the stories of Sarah, of Rachel, of Hannah. Being childless was just, it was a curse. Rachel telling her husband Jacob, give me children or I will die. Because if I couldn't have a child, I was basically worthless. I had no value. The next example is the parched land. And much of Palestine is semi-arid, so that would make great sense. But you know yourself, if it's really dry, the ground is what? Give me moisture, give me water, give me more, give me more. And then the fourth one is the fire never says enough. And we see that with our Canadian neighbors. The wildfires that are so out of control, and they always want to burn more, always want to burn more. And so the fire never says enough. Now, these four illustrations from nature illustrate what the human heart is like. We don't always like those comparisons, but that's what the Scripture teaches. More, more, give me more. And as I was working on this, it was an interesting thought, is that, you know what? The Ten Commandments are actually bookended by not being greedy. One is, you shall have no other gods before me. Don't look for other gods. Don't look for other gods to worship. Don't look for other things to give your allegiance to. And then the tenth commandment, what does it close with? You shall not covet. Don't covet. It's the bookends on the Ten Commandments. And I have to admit, I got that from Lutzer. I wasn't that smart myself. We're going to skip verse 17 because that's about honoring your father and mother, and that could be like a whole separate sermon. Then we go to verses 18 and 19. And it says, these are some things that are really too amazing to understand. But in it, the writer recognizes a mystery or a stealth about certain activities. Something happened, but I can't track it. Natural similarities of concealment. And he talks about the astounding flight of the eagle in the sky, the effortless vitality with which that takes. If you've ever seen the eagle fly, it's like, it is amazing. You just stand and watch them. They're so majestic, so noble. And then it says, the way of a snake on a rock. How can it slither across the smooth rock? How does it do that? It doesn't have little legs. There's nothing on the rock to get it. And it says, leaves no trail. And then how about a ship on the high seas? Once it's gone, no trail. And so there's a relationship in each one of these. The relationship between the eagle and the sky. The relationship between the snake and the rock. The relationship between the ship and the sea. And that leads up to the fourth one, the way of a man with a young woman. And this is really talking about, Proverbs has a lot to talk about sexual activity. And this talks about a secret or clandestine sexual encounter. And when it's over, people can walk away and there's no trail. And so, what's interesting about these four is then it says there's actually a fifth one I want to point out. And the connecting word is way. There's a way every time it uses that word, okay? The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a... And so in verse 20, it talks about an adulterous man and woman who engage in unlawful intimacy. Things people try to get away with thinking there is no trail. And so the four lead up to this one. And what could be unlawful is the question we ask. What could be unlawful between two consenting adults? What's the big deal? And so in this passage that we just read, the people involved hide the evidence of their shame by professing innocence. Nothing to see here. I've done nothing wrong. And you know, this is where we live today in our culture. We live in a very promiscuous culture and people act like they have done nothing wrong. Nothing to see here, no big deal, nothing going on. Matter of fact, how callous have we gotten? We don't think much of people living together that aren't married. We've gotten so used to it, it's like, what's the big deal? But biblically, that has not changed. And this proverb speaks to that. It speaks to that, and it says, we think nothing of it when people have lost their values. Another way you could really encapsulate this whole little section we just read is, hey, what I do in the dark, don't you worry about in the light. It's my life. What's the big deal? Just leave me alone. And we often think that we can get away with a lot of stuff. In our minds, when we think we're getting away with it, we think that we're like the eagle, the ship, or the snake, and not leaving a trail. Not leaving a trail. Elsewhere, Scripture talks about, though, he who sits in the heavens, he sees all. But what we just talked about leads to verses 21 through 23. And that speaks to social chaos. And I always find it interesting and amazing. I shouldn't, because God inspired all this word. But you know, this was written 2,700 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. How relevant it is to the culture that we live in. So the next passage talks about social chaos, no security. No security in society is the opposite of stability in a community or a nation. Society gets agitated when incapable, unhealthy people end up in places of leadership, having status, authority, and it states under three things the earth trembles, quakes, or is disturbed. That's what Proverbs says. And then it says, no, make that four. And what are they? When a servant becomes a king. In other words, when people who are really not competent end up in places of real responsibility but are not capable of carrying them out. And then another example it uses is when a godless fool gets plenty to eat. Okay, another way to put that is if a godless fool ends up with lots of money, with wealth. In the old, when this was written, if you had lots to eat, that meant you were wealthy. That person, it says, will be crude, rude, and loud, thinking he earned or deserved this bounty, and suddenly has a huge ego, thinking, I'm entitled to this. I'm really good. I pulled this off myself. The next one is a contemptible woman, meaning unattractive, despicable, or wicked, who gets married. Again, that was, we talked about that earlier. If a woman didn't have children or wasn't married, that was like a horrible thing. So that can be broadened a little bit into different examples. So when a contemptible female is voted Woman of the Year, that would fit into this. When a man is voted Woman of the Year, this would fit into that. Yes, we laugh, but it's happened. When transgender men win medals competing in women's sports, these are examples of that. And these people may start to act haughty, arrogant, and snooty, and what they do is they bring chaos to the structure of the society. The fourth one, a servant who displaces her mistress. And we see that story played out in Genesis when Sarah can't have a baby and they work out this deal that Hagar, her handmaid, will then sleep with Abraham to have a child. That's the mother then of Ishmael. What that did in the relationship between Sarah and Hagar. Hagar became puffed up, conceited, self-important. And so when wrong people end up in places of status or power, all of society suffers. You know, this is a real danger for us because we live in an open society which has its real benefits, but it also has the potential to bring in lots of problems, lots of problems. When unknowns rise to places of power, sometimes through rash promotions, okay, things that happen because not of my abilities, my skills, what I can do, but through the people that I know, what comes through is the Peter principle. And many of you are familiar with that. That means that I keep moving up to where I find the level of incompetence. In other words, I've reached a place where I'm no longer competent to carry out the task before me. The trouble is that many people stay in those positions and then create chaos for everybody under them. After God said all of these things that we just covered, wise behavior can be observed in the animal world. And he encourages us as people, says, you have distorted. You have distorted what I as your creator have made you to be. So look to the animal world and see what you can learn there. There we see wisdom and beauty of their creator. And there are examples for labor and diligence, planning and organization. And there's four things that he uses as the first example. First, he says the ants. He says, look at the ants. Look how small they are. Kind of pretty defenseless, preparing for winter months. The ants don't even have a calendar. How do they know these things? But they're obedient to what their creator, who also is our creator, put in them. The next example he uses is hyraxes. They're really rock badgers. Rock badgers have very little strength. They they're defenseless. But they're smart because they choose wisely where to live. And they live, and this should speak to your heart as a Christian, they live in the cleft of the rock because they know that that is where they are safe. And that's where we have to learn to live, in the cleft of the rock. And then it says, and then there's locusts. They don't have any king, yet they're orderly. They do things orchestrated well. There's not chaos to it. They advance in ranks. They're cooperative. And what's the blessing, the payoff? The locusts, as a community, they all eat. They're that organized. They take care of their own. And then there's one more, lizards. Maybe more like a gecko. And they make commercials and sell insurance. They're just seeing if you're still with me. It says they are really easy to catch. So they're really, you can observe them easily. Yet they dwell in the king's palace. They slip past the guards. They know how to survive wherever they are. The wisdom of the lizard. Now, as humans, what do? We appreciate high technology, human brilliance, ingenuity. I just read, and AI, and I just read something about AI that some, obviously secularists, think that we're getting really close where we can figure out how to have eternal life on earth through AI. Anyways, these are the things we appreciate. But what we just read in Proverbs, basic qualities in the small animal kingdom show that careful planning, wise choosing, community loyalty, dogged persistence are all God-given gifts to live well. So it always comes back to, what are we doing with our God-given gifts? And then verse 29, there's, God comes with another example. The first ones were the really small animals, okay? So the little rock badger, the ant, those ones. Now he says there's four that are stately. Stately animals. We've moved from the small to the majestic. In the Hebrew language, stateliness actually means those who do things well. So if you do things well, you're a stately person. This also then is instructions how to behave as leaders, to have competence in our role. And the four examples each portray their Creator's power. The Creator's power, His wisdom, His dignity, and a good leader instills confidence. So the first example is the lion. Now the lion is proud, exemplifies courage. He's the king of the animal world. The next example is the it says strutting rooster, that also could be a peacock, but it displays pomp and circumstance. And also, again, that confidence or that pride in himself. And then the he-goat, or also known as a buck, is a protector of the does, the ones that he's been set up over. And, it's interesting, a king. But a king surrounded by his military and loyal subjects feels secure against the revolt. So, if the animals can do this, how much more are we called to do this well? To live well in a chaotic world. And here's the wisdom. We worship and are drawn to the one who is the King of Kings. The one who supersedes everything. The one who does all of this perfectly. And we are created in His image. And so this passage ends with a warning. Remain humble and unassuming. And so verses 32 and 33, they teach us, check your own heart. Do you subscribe to pride and bragging? Do you get arrogant and cause strife? Are you a stirrer? Take note. Personal quarrels will lead to bigger blowouts and lawsuits. Therefore, I must cover my mouth, bite my tongue, not exalt myself, and not devise or bring up evil. Because that all leads to fighting and tension and destruction. In essence, it says, be silent. Avoid strife. Reminds you of James, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And this is how God's, what we read is how God's created order works. Did you notice? God is really proud of his creation. I've been really aware of that from Genesis to Revelation. It is always highlighted that God is the creator. And I don't believe he will ever take lightly if we say that this all happened, Big Bang, natural evolution, over millions of years. That's blasphemy. God is very clear. I am the creator God. I get the honor. I get the glory. I get the praise for everything you see. And so that's why nature is called natural revelation, and Jesus is called special revelation. So he includes creation in his acts of greatness. And we must never, never overlook that. And through creation, he revealed himself. And then in special revelation, he revealed Jesus Christ. So a chapter like Proverbs 30, sometimes we can read through it and say, wow, that's pretty interesting stuff, or that's fascinating, or I really like those little animals, and this is pretty cute, and that's cool. But there's a real lesson. There's a real lesson here that speaks to us and says, look at nature, and in essence, how they live in obedience to what they were created for, how God created them. And then it asks the question, how are you doing? You who were created in his image, you who have rational skills, you are able to think. What are you doing with this? So we're called to remember and obey the things that God has equipped us with in daily life. We honor our covenant God by how we live, how to work for peace and harmony and unity in society, how to fulfill our potential as human beings. Ever think about that? What's my potential as a human being? What are the gifts and the abilities and the skills God has given me? And how do I use them to honor him? What am I doing with it? That would lead into the sermon on the talents. So there's two things to remember. First, remember who we are in Jesus Christ. Many people are looking for an identity. We'll never find our identity if we don't find Christ. We'll always be like looking random places, coming up with strange and distorted views. Only way to find our identity is in Jesus Christ. And then once we have our identity, the next question is, what do I do with it? And then we're taught that God has created really good works in advance for us to do so that we can honor him in our daily living. This is godly wisdom, not human folly. Father, we come to you. Chapters like Proverbs 30, so interesting. The richness of your word, there's really no depth to it. And we can sometimes read it and kind of read it superficially, and sometimes we can just start digging into it and realize what an awesome God you are and how you reveal yourself in so many ways to help us understand who you are. And when we understand who you are, it gives us a sense of who we are. Created in your image and created to glorify you. Teach us. Mold us, shape us to want to do that well. Thank you again for these passages. And Father, will you keep stirring our hearts in such a way that we don't just let these things move past us without really pondering them and seeing, how will I respond? What will I do with this? If I said anything that didn't please you, we ask too that you would delete that from our minds. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 639, verses 1, 2, and 4. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, standing to sing. may be seated. This time the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Father, we just sung, "Praise Him, all creatures here below." And we know that You see all of creation as Your creatures, Your creation. And we know that they all have their own way of praising You, worshiping You, glorifying You, lifting up Your name in ways we don't even understand. But we can learn from it. Help us, too, to praise You. And may that also be evident in our giving. May we always see the giving as part of worship, where we're saying, "Father, You're the provider. We're just stewards. Thank You for trusting us to be stewards. Keep us faithful, even as You are. We praise You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen." After the benediction, we will sing number 433, "Rise Up, O Church of God," the first verse. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His countenance towards you and grant you His peace. Both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to past services on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.